Amen. Thank you so much, Curtie, for that special number. Very nicely done. Take your Bible with me now. Turn, please, to 1 Timothy chapter 4, where we were this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Kids, you may be dismissed to the junior church program. 1 Timothy chapter 4. This morning, we took Paul's words to Timothy. We framed them in the ever-present New Testament motif of a battle, because the Christian life is indeed a battle. Then we took his advice to young Timothy, the pastor, what Timothy was to do in the battle that he would face as a pastor in the ever-present spiritual battle, and we then applied them to the Christian patriot. And we said in the morning message that all of us who are American citizens have a great gift. It is actually a stewardship, something that is given by God that we need to be very careful how we handle, and that is the right to speak up, the right to be an American citizen, and the right to be heard. I've never lived in a day and time when those rights were more threatened than they are today, and part of the problem is the failure of American Christians to exercise those rights on a broad way and in a public way. We have almost accepted as humorous the reality of censorship in America that limits the speech of Americans, dissenting Americans, on every issue of our day. And because we accept those things as being normative now, eventually we will lose our ability to say the things that should be said and proclaim the message of the gospel. There are people today who want to limit the things that I can say freely behind the pulpit. If you think sometimes that I get a little bit too close to the edge, wait till I get there tonight once again. Because the simple fact of the matter is, I am tired of people telling other Americans what they can and cannot say, what they can and cannot think. And if we allow that to happen, it is our fault. We should not let this nation go down without a fight. And so, therefore, we need to exercise our rights. Now, this morning, I talked about the necessity for developing exemplary young people and the battle that they are against. And they have never faced a more difficult time than today in their development. And those of us who are older, I'm 54 years of age, those of us who are older would probably have to admit that we shudder to think of the world that our young people are going to enter. It will be vastly different should the Lord tarry his coming. It will be vastly different than the world that we enjoyed for many decades of our lives. The country that they will inherit, should things not change dramatically, will be an entirely different country, if a country at all. When I say those words, I'm not trying to be sensational. I'm trying to be very realistic, because we are in grave danger. And so we talked about the importance of developing exemplary young people and all of the things that our young people are against. And that was in verse number 12, where the Bible says, "Let no man despise thy youth." That was only point number one of the morning message. Point number two of the morning message, look at verse number 13. Paul said this, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine." Note the word, give attendance. Point number two is this, pay attention. Pay attention. Paul encouraged Timothy to pay attention to certain things. There are certain things that would be essential in his battle as a pastor and as a leader of his church. There are certain things that are essential for us to pay attention to in regard to our position in this world today. And when he said pay attention, of course, he was talking about several things. He said, give your attendance to, or pay attention to reading, to reading. Now, what was Paul talking about to Timothy? Listen carefully. He was talking about the Old Testament scripture. At this point in time, the New Testament was being compiled. The Apostle Paul was writing much of the New Testament. It was being compiled. By the close of the first century, the New Testament, as we know it today, would have been compiled in the original Greek language. But when Paul says to Timothy, give attendance to reading, his emphasis is not reading a novel. It wasn't reading Facebook. Now, let me be frank. There are people in this room that read more Facebook than you do the Bible. Period. Shame on you. You know what's happening on Facebook more than you know the Word of God. Now, I'll be honest, we're never going to save a nation with a mentality like that. Never in a million years. Paul said, give attention to reading. When he was talking about reading, he was talking about the Old Testament. Now, why the Old Testament? Because the Old Testament is the foundation, doctrine, and document of Christianity. Is everybody following what I'm saying here? All of the basics are introduced to us in the Old Testament. My Sunday school class, we were looking at some interesting things in Genesis chapter 14 this morning, and I was thinking to myself again, how all of the major doctrines of the Bible are introduced to us in seed form in the book of Genesis. There's something at least in the book of Genesis that hints to them. The book of the Old Testament is the foundational document. Christianity is built as the fulfillment of the predictions of the Old Testament. Paul said to Timothy, give attendance to reading. In other words, go back to fundamental documents, foundational documents, things that are principles upon which our nation was built. Let me make an application. There's never been a time when American Christians need to understand their Constitution and their rights, as is the day and time in which we're living. If an American Christian has a Bible in one hand and a Constitution in the other hand, you have all you need to know about living and governance in this country. And as an American citizen, blessed with that stewardship, I have a responsibility then to understand what is in that document. Well, you say, Pastor Monty, you know, I'm not a constitutional scholar, and therefore I'll leave that to the constitutional scholars. That kind of thinking is the problem. The founders wrote the Constitution in wording that they expected the common citizen to understand. Because within the Constitution and the amendments itself, we are the ones who are given charge to protecting it even if it comes to arms. Now that's clearly in our Constitution and the amendments. I'm suggesting this evening that being knowledgeable is important. Because if you fail to understand where the government limitations are and where your rights begin, you failed everything. By the way, one of my informants at Faith Baptist Church. Yeah, I have informants. They're everywhere. One of my informants at Faith Baptist Church called me, well, I called him this afternoon. He texted me, I called him, and he said this, and I thought it was very good. He said it would be wise to remind the people that regardless of the office, the political office someone holds, they are not our leaders, they are our representatives. There really is a key difference. We hire, with the exception of Mr. Biden, all elected officials were hired by an election. And I say with the exception of Mr. Biden, he holds the office by fraud. But with that, you say, Pastor Monty, you're so bold in that assertion. There's nothing that proves that he should be there, and plenty that proves he doesn't. By the way, did you sit through the entire, I did, the entire hearing before the House of Representatives in Arizona concerning election fraud? I watched from the moment of it starting to the moment of it finishing. And fraud in the state of Arizona was absolutely rampant. And your communist news media did nothing to report it except to say the opposite. I watched the hearing. The reason I watched the hearing is I did not want to read about it. I wanted to see it with my own eyes. I was completely convinced. But our elected officials serve as representatives. They serve at our will. We need to remember that. We did not elect dictators. We elected representatives. They are to do the will of the people. When they do not do the will of the people, they are disposed of in the next election, and we have an awful lot of disposing to do in the next election. Why is the Constitution important? Because as never before, your rights have been grievously trampled. We do not have an administration, we have a cartel. We have a criminal cartel that has stood before you and told you that they will force medical decisions upon you whether you like it or not. Now someone said, Pastor Monty, I get tired of you talking about this. Well, that's too bad. Because somebody needs to. Now I don't care if you got the shot or not. I don't care about that. If you did get it, I hope you researched it thoroughly. If you're contemplating it, come talk to me and I'll give you some thorough research that you can listen to. My argument is not over a medical procedure, though I will be frank, as your pastor, I'm incredibly leery. 2 months ago, I wasn't as leery as I am now. I've done too much reading and too much research. I'm concerned that 17,000 people have died as a direct result of that shot, and that is verifiable material on the CDC VAERS website page. 17,000 people. Used to be if you had a vaccine come out and 100 people died, they pulled it off the market to see what was wrong. 17,000 people on a website that experts say is grossly underestimated by perhaps 10 times. The number could be 170,000. We do not know because this is kept from us, but that number appears on the CDC website. It's strange that nobody ever brings that up so the general population can understand without having to dig through page after page after page of gobbledygook on a website somewhere. I'd be a little bit concerned. I'd be cautious. I would be careful. I would be careful because of all the stories that I'm told and people that have had incidences take place after they take that. I would just be cautious. But my point is not whether you get the shot or not. My point is this. You have the right as a free American to deny any medical procedure you want. And that free right should not be pressured or threatened by your job. One of the reasons I'm so passionate about this is I've written a religious vaccine exemption letter. By the way, to date, it is 100% effective. I've not heard of anyone who's turned it away, 100% effective. I have given away scores of them since writing that thing. I did it for one person in the church, and then it just multiplied. Danielle, hasn't it multiplied? It's multiplied to the point of ridiculous. Poor Danielle spends half her day sending out the letter. It's working. But the problem is no American should have to do that. It is your choice to be threatened, to be cajoled, to be told that you will be treated as a second-class citizen, to be threatened that you won't be allowed in entertainment venues nor in airplanes. To have all of those things hanging over your head is a violation of your civil rights. My opinion regarding these matters may be in the minority, but my rights should not be taken away because I hold a minority opinion. Now, that is something very simple and basic in the Constitution of the United States of America. And if we bow down to every mandate and dictate that comes down from dictatorial powers, then all of a sudden we'll find ourselves enslaved to them. By the way, the Fifth Circuit Court agrees. Some of you are aware of this. Yesterday, the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals said this. Because the petitions, that is the people who are suing about the mandate, because the petitions give cause to believe that there are grave statutory and constitutional issues with the mandate is hereby stayed pending further action by this court. In other words, Biden's autocratic mandate no longer counts until the court looks into it further. There is no January 4th deadline. None. Good thing. The state of Indiana has now filed, Todd Rokita and the governor have now filed three separate lawsuits concerning this mandate in the 7th District Court of Appeals. You can read about that in the Indianapolis Star. 26 different states have signed on to various lawsuits opposing this on the grounds that it is not constitutional to force people against their will. Now, I want everyone to look at me. Your preacher's not crazy. Not in a bad way, someone said. Amen. Your preacher's not crazy. I'm concerned. I'm concerned by anything that looks like a mafia-style threat to take away your income. And by the way, if this is declared unconstitutional, I wonder what will happen to businesses who enforced it prior to its actual enforcement date and who forced people to do something against their will, holding their job over their head. That is one of the most un-American and wrong things that could possibly be done. And since I'm talking about it, because I might feel guilty if I don't say this someday, so I'm just going to say it. You are adults, get a shot if you want to. Don't get one if you don't want to. I would advise that you get advised and get lots of information before you do. That's your freedom of choice as an American citizen. Now, as your pastor, giving that thing to 5 to 11-year-olds is crazy. Okay, I'm just saying that as your pastor. I've done the research, both the CDC and the FDA were told by advisors not to recommend this. Pfizer Corporation has made hundreds of billions of dollars since all of this began, and I would never, I'm speaking for myself personally. How about that? Pastor Monty, you have the bully pulpit. I do, thank you. I'm speaking for myself personally. I would never give my children that shot. Never in a million years. Okay, enough said. Pastor Mahdi, why would you talk like this? Because I am an American citizen, and it is my free right. Well, don't you realize, Pastor, they'll come after you? Not if we stop them. Does everybody follow what I'm saying? Not if we stop them. The left has screamed loud and long about the most ridiculous things on the planet. And I talked about some of those this morning. And I have a right to say what I will say. By the way, you have a right to listen. If you don't like it, you can leave. Boom. Now, why would I say that? Here's what I'm saying. You cannot give the left all of the rights. We cannot hand it away to them. We cannot say, we're going to censor Dr. Monty's disinformation. My information is every bit as good as yours. You have been lied to for a year. Consistently lied to. Would you get the polio vaccine if someone told you it could give you polio? No. Something that you have to have over and over again, what a failure. I mean, by that, the average person can recognize there's a problem with that. Okay, we're not dumb. The average person recognizes it. For me to say it is not a bad thing, and the reason I'm saying it is because I am paying attention to what is happening. And I, as your pastor, am deeply concerned for you. Do you know when I talk this way, do you know what it causes me? Problems. People call me on the phone, they text me, Pastor Monty, be careful. Pastor Monty, you shouldn't say that. Blah, 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 blah. Please don't do that. I want to because I love you. I want to inform you that there is something in my mind very suspicious about that entire thing. But let's move on. Give attendance to reading. That means pay attention. Understand your rights, your constitutional rights. He said this too. Look at the next thing in verse number 13. Give attendance to reading. Then he said this to exhortation. What is that? Exhortation is the bold declaration of the truth. Now that's one thing that I'm working on. The bold declaration of the truth. He was saying to Timothy, who was of a timid nature historically, we know that from Scripture, he was saying to Timothy, do not be cowed or shamed into silence. Do not be afraid. Do not think that the message has to come only from one organization. Some of you may not be aware, but yesterday the offices of Project Veritas, anyone familiar with them? Oh, look at all these hands, investigative reporters. The offices of Project Veritas were raided by the FBI yesterday. The SS arm of Joe Biden. Mr. James O'Keefe is an American hero who has sought to bring you the truth by undercover investigative journalism, all of it videotaped and recorded so that you can see exactly what he's saying. There's no reporter's words standing between you and the reports of Mr. James O'Keefe. Now, offices and homes were raided by the FBI. What is that all about, ladies and gentlemen? Oh, Pastor Monty. No, this, by the way, you can find this in the major news media because they want him silenced. He exposed some of them. Exhortation is a bold declaration of truth. We will not be cowed into submission. Then note the next one. He says, give attendance to doctrine. To doctrine. What is doctrine? Doctrine is teaching. Doctrine is teaching. Doctrine is going to your Bible, as we do all the time. Now, today was a special day because we're thinking about Veterans Day. But we're still going to the Bible to base our teaching about Veterans Day on the Scripture. But we go to the Bible and base everything we have to say on Scripture. We're not looking for the word of a denomination or some denominational paper to guide us. We're opening the Bible and seeing what the Bible says. When we open the Bible and see what the Bible says and then teach what the Bible says word for word and verse by verse, it transforms lives. Because it is accurate and because it is true. We're to give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. We are, look at verse number 14. He says to Timothy specifically, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which is given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. What in the world is that? Uniquely speaking to Timothy, Paul was saying, look, you have a calling. Your calling was recognized by the church. God is using you as the pastor of the church at Ephesus. He says, recognize the calling. How does this apply to you? Well, we're supposed to work very diligently to develop exemplary youth. We're to pay attention, and I'm begging you, pay attention. Pay attention. watch everything that's happening in our world today. And then number three, recognize your unique purpose as an individual. Timothy had a thoroughly unique purpose. In verse number 14, the Apostle Paul reminds Timothy that he had a calling, that it was specific to that day and time, and he had a calling as a church leader. And Paul says, don't forget about the empowering and the calling. Don't forget about the recognition of the church. Don't forget about the prayer that went over you. Timothy, remember back in your mind that there is something unique about your calling. It was to his time and to his place. It was specifically to his position. But our generation, too, has a unique calling. Now, we spoke about Veterans Day. Not everyone's called, of course, to serve in the United States military. Many in this room did serve, and we're thankful for you. But every person in this room is called to stand up for truth in an age of deception. Every person is. Every person in this room is called up to resist anti-American tyranny. And you ought to be able to recognize that by now. We all are. You say, Pastor Monty, what does that mean? I'm not calling you to take up arms yet. I'm not doing that. I'm calling you to look people square in the eye and tell them no. I'm calling you simply to be done with this, to move on, to live your lives as free Americans and then address the issues as they come. I'm encouraging you to do that. I'm encouraging you not to knuckle under to tyranny. That is a major idea here. That's part of the thing we're called to do. We're to stand for truth. We're to resist anti-American tyranny. We're to warn our circle of influence about things that are eroding our personal freedoms. We're to warn them. See, Pastor Bonnie, you know, I don't know if I should talk about all this. Well, the left sure is. According to them, because I'm unvaxxed, you should be frustrated with me and fearful of me. How ridiculous. Our job is to influence people out of this fear. One of the guiding principles, and I'm getting to this more on Wednesday nights. I've been speaking on demonology and Satanism on Wednesday nights. One of the things that Satan does to entrap people is something the Apostle Paul called, and he used these exact words, the spirit of fear. When he used the word spirit of fear, he wasn't just saying you have a fearful attitude, okay? Sometimes the word spirit, speaking of the human spirit, has to do with our attitude, our human spirit. But when he uses the word spirit of fear, he is calling out and naming a specific demon. Period. The spirit of fear. And so anytime a group of people is overcome by a crippling fear, that is satanic. Understand something. I'm just teaching you the Bible. That's a sign of Satanism. And when we go that route, when we bow to that, when we capitulate to that, we fall under the spirit of fear, which God hath not given us. Paul said, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So what do? We lovingly, kindly tell our circle of influence about Christ. We lovingly, kindly reveal. People are interested, by the way. People aren't turning you down right now. People are interested to talk about the things of God. They've got a curiosity about it. We lovingly influence them. Why? Because I have to recognize I have a unique purpose. So every person in this room has a sphere of influence that I do not have. I'm one person. I cannot influence everyone. But you have, given by God, a sphere of influence of people that you are responsible for influencing for right, for good, for God, and for the gospel. And I would encourage you to do so. All of us are called to that. All of us are called to boldly proclaim the gospel in our age. We'll talk about everything else, but we often don't talk about Him. And that's where we're missing the boat. Some of us don't care if we have coworkers that go to hell because we were not going to talk about it. Well, Pastor Monty, they told us we have a religion discussion free workplace. Are you no longer an American? See, these are serious questions. You don't have to be obnoxious about it, but you can tell people under your sphere of influence about Jesus Christ. We have to do it. If we fail to do that, then we failed in our mission as a church, and we failed in our individual and unique purpose as a Christian. And then look at verse number 15. There needs to be a commitment to the truth. Paul said this to Timothy, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear unto all. Now, notice this. What are we meditating on? All the things that are true. That assumes there really is an absolute, there really is truth. In other words, it assumes that I need to pick a side and get off the fence. And once I've done that, I need to immerse my thinking. To meditate means to think, to ponder, to fill the mind. I need to immerse my thinking with truth so that I am well armed to face this culture. Now, honestly, part of the problem is the average Christian opens his Bible. By the way, can I encourage you about something? I know that people have their Bibles on their cell phones. I know that. I have a study Bible on my cell phone that I reference sometimes when I'm studying. I know that. But can I suggest to you there's something really special about having a paper Bible that can't go down when the battery goes off, that won't get pulled out of your phone when Apple decides to pull it out of your phone, okay? There's something really... I've had the Bible I hold in my hand since I was 17 years old. This is its third cover. There's something really precious about the book that I'm holding in my hand. I'm holding in my hands the book of truth. I would encourage members of our church, I'm not mandating, because I don't do that because you are a free people in a free country. But I'm encouraging, if you don't own a paper Bible with a nice leather cover, I'd encourage you to make that investment. You know what else I would encourage you to do? I would encourage you to carry it to church. It's very striking when visitors come into our church. I had someone say this to me recently and say, I was amazed to see how many people are carrying Bibles at your church. Do you know why you carry a Bible? Well, Pastor Monty, I carry it because you're going to tell me to turn in it. I agree, and I want you to see what I'm saying, but another reason is you need to make sure I'm saying what it says. Okay, you need to make sure of that. That's your responsibility as a congregation, that you make sure that the pastor is staying on track with what the Word of God has to say. What am I suggesting? I'm suggesting that our commitment to truth is a serious thing. You can't think about everything in your life. So many things are distractions today. Pastor Monty, did you see that dog jumping through hoops on TikTok? You can't think of everything, but you should think of some things. When Paul tells Timothy to give thyself wholly to them, that is to give yourself over in obsessive domination of the truth. Did you know it's okay to be obsessed with the Bible? It's okay to give yourself wholly to it. It's okay to bathe your mind in it. By the way, it's not only okay, it is immensely healthy. Because I, as a man, have peace knowing the God of the Bible and the Bible of my God. I have peace in that. To meditate is to think, to ponder, to fill the mind. America has become fascinated by the trivial. And the trivial is a distraction. And I think there are forces far greater than us beyond anything we know that want us to be as distracted as possible so that evil can move in. Are you not a little bit surprised at how much things have changed in a year? Are you not a little bit surprised at how ostensibly it appears the agenda of evil has advanced in our nation? Does that not surprise you? You say, Pastor Monty, what do you make of that? It might be, notice my careful wording, it might be that the devil recognizes his time is short. It almost seems that somebody hit the fast forward button on the world, and things are changing at such a rapid pace we can't even imagine. You say, Pastor Monty, all this kind of talk makes me nervous. It shouldn't make you nervous. Jesus is coming again. The triviality we focus on is a distortion. We should focus daily on things that are of value. To give thyself wholly to these things is a healthy obsession. And why do we do that? Look at the end of the verse, verse 15, that thy profiting may appear unto all. What does that mean? Paul said, Timothy, give yourself over to the proclamation of this church, to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Get really involved in all of these things. Give yourself wholly to it, that thy profiting may appear unto all, that by your commitment to truth, you are demonstrating your faithfulness to truth. You are verbalizing it for the sake of benefiting others. That's what we're all about. I spend a lot of time every week in deep study of the Bible. You say, Pastor Monty, you probably studied the Bible for decades. You're right about that. Studied the book for decades. Do you know it inside out? Not like I need to. But I spend an awful lot of time in this book for the purpose of preaching to you that my profiting, what I'm getting out of it, may appear unto all, so that the congregation gets the benefit that I'm culling in hours of work, and it takes hours, in hours and work and labor in the Word of God, and it takes hours of reading and hours of study and hours of listening, all the things that I do. I'm doing that so that what profits me can be given to this congregation. That's the whole point of it, that thy profiting may appear unto all, so that I can preach and teach and warn and encourage and lift up and point the right direction and shine the light where the light needs to be shined. I want to do all of those things. May I make a statement? I'm not here to collect a paycheck. If I were here to collect a paycheck, my sermons would be very mellow, because these kind of sermons only give me trouble. I'm here to fulfill my unique calling in this age. And so are you. And the joy and delight of it is this: we have that opportunity. We have that opportunity. Paul said to Timothy, you're in a battle, Timothy. You need to develop exemplary as a youth, and we talked about that this morning. You need, Timothy, to pay attention. Get your eyes focused on some things. Timothy, you need to recognize that you have a unique purpose and calling as an individual. And then, Timothy, you need to do this. You need to commit yourself to what is true. And congregation, if we will do that together, not just your preacher, if we do that together, there is nothing that the powers of hell can throw at us that will destroy the church of Jesus Christ. People like guarantees. Don't you like guarantees? I like guarantees. I like when someone says, preacher, I guarantee, and then it actually happens. I like when that happens. I guarantee. The Lord Jesus gave us a guarantee. He said this about his church. He said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Someone worried the other day. I think it was cute. Someone worried the other day. I think I had said something about the China buffet up near Kroger up there. The filthy China buffet up near Kroger where they have roaches and stuff, because I saw them with my own eyes, that one. Someone got worried that I was going to be sued by the China buffet. I think that might be kind of fun, actually. See what happens with that. But there's nothing to worry about with that. You can say what you want if you're warning people to save their lives and not get food poisoning. Don't worry about trivialities, but we still have to stand for truth. That was a funny illustration, okay? We still have to stand for truth. And let's not worry about that, okay? In the world in which we live, I don't want to be a sheep. I want to be a lion. And I think that's important in the world in which we're living. And I think that when we have faith in God, belief in the Bible, when we really know where we stand, as an American citizen, I know where I stand. Nobody has the right to force me to do anything with a shot. No one does. No one does. No one does. No. And by the way, try it, and you won't like what happens to you. Okay? That's not a threat. That's a promise. We need to know where we stand. And then you know what we need to do, church? We need to just stand. We've banded together, because this is like-minded people in this room, I can tell you are. We've banded together. Let's take our stand. Let's be wise. Let's be careful. Let's be cautious. Hey, don't be a sheep and believe everything the media says. Don't be a sheep and believe everything the current administration says. Don't be that way. I would be so suspicious, because I am suspicious. Don't be that way. Be someone who looks at the Word of God and says, what does God say? What are my rights? And how can I, in this day and time, how can I stand firmly and courageously for him? Father, thank you for your word tonight. The words that are given to Timothy as a young pastor who's truly in a spiritual battle in the first century. Lord, those words illustrate for us how we are to live in the spiritual battle that we face. And Lord, we've drawn application to the current situation in our country, which is grievous to the core. And I know, Lord, that this thing grieves you. Father, I pray that you'll help us as a church to take a bold and uncompromising stand for what is right and what is true. Help us, Lord, as American citizens to claim our rights and to exercise them. Lord, tonight I have exercised my right of completely free and unbridled speech because I've opened the Bible and taught your word. Lord, help us never to lose the courage of our conviction when one day for doing this will place us under threat. Give us, Lord, courage beyond what we could possibly imagine. And thank you, Lord, for the person of the Holy Spirit who empowers the things we say and do. We pray your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me, please.